Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. April. It's April. And we have all sorts of shenanigans going on in both parties, do we not? You know, I'm not going to talk much about politics tonight. We have lots of stuff to cover. I am going to tell you a little, give you a little update on my thoughts about Mr. Trump and the Republicans. I think the Democrats kind of speak for themselves. Oh, my. Hillary is just, she is a piece of work, is she not? And Bernie, I must say, is entertaining. But what we are going to cover today is something very important for your security and your family's safety, health and welfare, and for the country. And that is the nuclear threat. And we're going to dwell on North Korea, because you're not getting the full story out there. You're getting bits and pieces. And North Korea, as we know, is a ready source for missile technology and nuclear technology, and probably missile parts and nuclear materials for Iran and for ISIS and for all those folks who just really don't like us. You know, those people that the president can't call Islamic extremists, jihadis, Islamic radicals, those guys, yeah. And there was much hand-wringing this past week, you might have noticed, about is ISIS building a nuke, and can they build a nuke, and how would they do the nuke, and whatever. We're going to go into that tonight. And, or should I say this morning. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the VA. I promised you that I would try and get to it last week's show. I did not. I ran out of time. Tisk, tisk, tisk on me. Too much to say, or maybe I'm just wordy. Who knows? But we're going to talk about the VA, and I'm going to give you some stats as to the problems at the VA, which you're well aware of. You heard about them 2-3 years ago. Graft, corruption, veterans being left to die, suffer. I mean, just outrageous stuff. And I'm going to tell you what's going on 700 days later. Oh, it's not going to make you happy. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about Merrick Garland. You know, Obama's Supreme Court pick, the Rhino Republicans who are already meeting with him. And, you know, the left is so good at spinning stuff. So that he's a moderate, and he's a centrist, and he is nothing of the type, folks. While he is not a radical lefty, he is extreme left. Let me give you some facts to contemplate, and then I'll tell you what you can do about it. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about oil. What's going on with oil? So, you know, Saudi Arabia, you probably heard on the news, there's a big hue and cry about Saudi Arabia buying up farm ground in the southwest, sinking wells, depleting the aquifer, growing alfalfa, shipping it back to Saudi Arabia. But let me tell you, that's not the only thing they're buying. What would you say when you learn tonight that they're buying America's largest oil refinery? That's not a good thing. And that's going to segue in, if I have time, I will give you the forewarning. That's going to segue into reasons that a lot of economists feel, and I told you this months ago, reasons that a lot of economists feel oil is going to be going up pretty dramatically by the end of this year. So those savings you've been enjoying here for the last 6 to 12 months, you might want to kiss them goodbye and adjust your budget in advance. All right, so let's get started. You know, Mr. Trump, now, as you know, I announced prior to my being a delegate at the county caucus here in Wyoming that I decided that I was going to support Trump. And I gave you the reasons. I thought, He's probably the best organizer, certainly the best businessman with the most business experience. In my opinion, the best non-political, that would be international and business negotiator. And you don't build $10 billion worth of buildings without knowing how to put together a good team. So the next thing is that, you know, he's not really beholden to anybody that we know of. And therefore, you know, he might lop off the heads of five or six agencies, downsize the rest, and work on the national debt. So those were all favorable points for Trump. I must tell you, though, after his diarrhea of the mouth over the last 3 weeks, and particularly one thing which really turned me off. So, you know, he made a lot of faux pas. We don't need to go into them. You've heard about them on the news, I'm sure, relating to abortion and, you know, I mean, ad infinitum. All that can be excused. Everybody makes faux pas. Everybody, quote unquote, misspeaks. And everybody is on a learning curve. But I'll tell you what really turned me off. What really turned me off was after Cruz won Wisconsin, and he won it for two reasons. Number one, he was better organized. And number two, you know, Trump's incredible series of faux pas for the 2 weeks prior. Trump was originally favored to win Wisconsin. Actually, Cruz kind of trounced him soundly. But what really turned me off was after saying he was going to kind of rework his image and stick more to policy and not do the personal crap, you know, that really turns people off, including me. He comes out, or one of his campaign folks came out with tweets and other crap the day after the Wisconsin primary. And basically said, you know, Lion Ted, blah, blah, blah. And it really, I must tell you, folks, it really turned me off. It just wasn't gracious. It wasn't professional. It reflected poorly in a lot of respects. And more importantly, it showed a lack of self-control, which I really don't like. So I'm not withdrawing my support for Trump, primarily because I think Cruz is just unelectable. And John Kasich, I just don't think he's tough enough to beat Hillary. I think it's going to be a replay of Romney Obama. And, you know, and anybody that the establishment puts up, ain't going to be my cup of tea, although I'd vote for my boot over Hillary or Bernie, any Democrat or progressive, any day of the week. So, that's just a little update on my evolving thoughts about Mr. Trump. Along those lines, I was, as I told you, an alternate delegate to the Wyoming State Convention. Many of you wrote in and said that they were looking forward to hearing about my thoughts on that after I attended. It's April 16th. And based on some shenanigans at the state Republican level, and I'm not going to go into them, there's many good people, by the way, who work in the Wyoming State Republican Party and work their butts off for no pay and are terrific. But, you know, there are some shenanigans going on. So, number one, the state is already... the die is cast for Cruz. So my lonely voice, along with some others, is not going to make any difference whatsoever. Number two, they passed a new rule saying that alternates cannot address the convention. That means that I would have to wait for one of the delegates to have to go to make a potty run for me to sit in his chair or her chair and jump up and, you know, give my spiel. So when it all boils down to it, I can have no effect at this convention. It would be more of a social event, which I'm sure would be enjoyable, but my time is way too limited for that. So I will not be going, and I informed the county and state folks just the other day, I will not be going to the state convention as an alternate. In many ways, I must say, after watching this banal and outrageous series of circumstances, both on the Republican and Democratic side, it really is time for a third party. Not prior to this presidential election, because that really does us no good, does it? Particularly when you hear about our friend Mr. Garland, the quote-unquote moderate that Mr. Obama has appointed, not appointed, but nominated for the Supreme Court. But I think after the next election, I think the time is ready for a third party. How about we call it the American Party? Don't you like that? And the American Party would be just that, for Americans. Doesn't matter about your age or your income level, your race, your gender, your creed. None of that matters. If you're an American, the American Party is for you. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the election. I've already been in touch with some people, and some people have been in touch with me. We shall see. Time does tell all tales. Now, let's move to more sinister news, shall we? You know, the president, El Presidente, Barry Excelsior, he had a summit. He had a summit, and, you know, this was all about safety and terror and all that kind of stuff. Not once during the summit, of course, did he use the word Islam, Islamist extremist, jihadi, Muslim terrorism. Those were not heard. In fact, and I believe I have the article posted below, in fact, the French president stood up and quite clearly said that, you know, Muslim extremism and radical Islamic terrorists are the key security problems. And do you know, and you can't make this up, that part of his speech was actually blanked out? It was censored by the White House. Now, when there was a big hue and cry, particularly by France, they supposedly posted it on some back channel, the full transcript or whatever. But this is how deep the Muslim and the Islamic extremist sympathies run in this administration. They censor the president of one of our allies at a summit to which he was invited by Barry to talk about terror. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. And if they will censor the French president, folks, what do they think they'll do to you and me? Eh? I mean, you hear about the attacks on the First Amendment? Well, here's a glaring example for you. So anyway, you know, this summit was absolutely, it was kind of oriented to nuclear terror, nuclear proliferation. Iran wasn't in attendance. Russia wasn't in attendance. China wasn't in attendance. And of course, North Korea was not in attendance. So, we also learn, by the way, as everybody's been wringing their hands since this summit over the possibility of those who can't be named getting their hands on nuclear material and doing a dirty bomb or some other type of bomb. We also hear that there's a Belgium nuclear physicist who, in one of the raids in Belgium that they finally carried out, had been tracked, monitored, and shadowed by two of these Islamic extremists. I reported to you and I warned you a year and a half ago about the fact that they got their hands on 80 pounds of nuclear materials at the University of Mosul. which, in the course of this summit and in some congressional hearings, we also find out has a complete chemical laboratory in which they are perfecting their chemical weapons, which they have already used against the Kurds, by the way. Now, it does not take a great stretch of imagination to know that those who can't be named would love to drop a nuke or set off a nuke in a major American city or in a major American event. I mean, this is not rocket science, right? Barry, by the way, spent a good part of his address blasting the Republicans. Now, what does that have to do with this summit? Only Barry knows. So, that brings us to North Korea. North Korea. It'll interest you to know that the sanctions and the don't build any nuclear bombs agreement in North Korea, or with North Korea, was negotiated by none other than Bill Clinton, whose wife, Hillary Clinton, is currently running for the White House, and whose state secrets and security secrets have probably been stolen by the North Koreans from her illegal server. Putting that as a may, you know, if you look at the North Korean agreement that Clinton did, it's not all too dissimilar from the agreement that Iran did, except Iran got a lot more money a lot faster. And I don't think Bill Clinton was rooting for North Korea. I just think he didn't want to be bothered. Typical progressive mentality. You know, he had other bigger things to focus on, like Monica. Now, and in the case of Iran, you have people who are actually for Iran. I mean, they're rooting for Iran in the White House. You have the closest advisor to Barry, President Obama, Valerie Jarrett, born in Tehran, Iran, and a Muslim, who began the nuclear talks with Iran in secret in Qatar, one of the largest sponsors of Islamic extremism in the world. They and Saudi Arabia, I might add, and Iran. So, we found out also in the last week that Iran has been testing ICBM missiles, that their people have been in attendance at North Korean tests, that there is a even closer liaison developing between North Korea and Iran, and that Iran has been shipping all sorts of arms and goodies and money to Hezbollah, Hamas, etc., and that Iran and Saudi Arabia have been funding mosques around the world, and particularly in the United States, and that money has been funneled to terrorists. I'm not going to have an installment on that series for you today, by the way, folks. Some additional information came to light on two mosques that I was going to talk to you about today, and I'm going to wait for that to ferret out and be verified, and then we'll be back on the series track next week. So let's talk about North Korea, because North Korea is kind of the, what should we call it? It's the Petri dish. It's the Petri dish for nuclear proliferation around the world. All the bad guys who want nuclear stuff and a way to deliver it, as in missiles, go to North Korea, who, number one, is delighted that perhaps a surrogate of theirs, so to speak, will take out somebody they don't like the United States, or cause extreme havoc. And number two, they're starved for cash, so basically they'd sell their mother's apron. Never mind nuclear fissile material and ICBM technology and parts. So, North Korea, here's some things you didn't know that you really need to know. Number one, they have now figured out that North Korea's ICBM can reach the Midwest of the United States. Just a year ago, there was arguments about whether it could reach the West Coast. Now, it can reach the Midwest. That's number one. Number two, think about what's going on in Iran. You have a country which just got $150 billion from El Presidente, who, by the way, he stood up and said, finally admitted that although they're towing the line on the letter of our agreement, nonsense, they're not towing the line on the intent of our agreement. Wow, what a surprise, Barry. As if you didn't know they weren't going to do that. But just this week, folks, April 5th to be exact, South Korea said North Korea now is able to miniaturize a nuclear warhead to put on one of its missiles that they have been testing against Security Council sanctions, because they mean nothing, and in complete violation of the deal they made in the 90s with Clinton, a very good foretelling of what's going to happen with Iran, I might add. They have now miniaturized a nuclear weapon that can go on a missile. You know, there are four things that a power or a mob or a non-state actor, one of those who shall not be named, but we know them as Islamic terrorists. There's four things they got to accomplish to be a nuclear threat, a true nuclear threat. Their first challenge is you have to have a nuclear weapon, obviously. And North Korea obviously does. Everybody agrees on that. They've conducted four nuclear tests. The most recent was back on January 6th. North Korea claimed it was a hydrogen bomb. We poo-pooed it. But all the people who measured the seismic activity related to that test say it was much larger than anything North Korea had tested so far. For those of you who don't know, a hydrogen bomb is about 100 times more powerful than an atomic bomb. An atomic bomb is what was dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. The second challenge is a country like North Korea must know how to miniaturize the weapon. You have to get it small enough so it could go on top of an ICBM for long-range delivery. Now, originally South Korea agreed with the United States, I'm sure as part of the international charade, earlier this year, I'm talking about just months ago, that North Korea had no way miniaturized a nuclear weapon. Yet, just in the last week, let's see, they did a background briefing, the South Koreans did, with foreign journalists. And they said that Pyongyang, that's North Korea's capital, has figured out how to mount a nuclear warhead on its medium-range Rodong, that's R-O-D-O-N-G, ballistic missile. That's a rather abrupt about-face. I bet that doesn't make the spinmeisters at the State Department very happy. So, now that they have miniaturized a nuclear warhead, they have the second challenge taken care of. By the way, the South Korean Defense Ministry and the Pentagon. There was a guy from the Pentagon by the name of Peter Cook. This is on March 15th. Quote, "We have not seen North Korea demonstrate capability to miniaturize a nuclear weapon, and again, to put it on a ballistic missile." Oh. Well, I don't know. At the same time, Admiral Bill Gortney of the North American Aerospace Defense Command was telling the U.S. at the same time, guys, the U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee that, according to his assessments, quote, "the North Koreans have the ability to put an ICBM in space and range the continental United States and Canada," unquote. South Korea in their release this week, said, "We believe the North Koreans have accomplished the miniaturization of a nuclear warhead to mount it on a Rodong missile." My, how quickly the threat level is changing, and how little we are being told about it. Imagine that. Now, the third challenge that a country who wants to be a nuclear dog, a daog, faces is an intercontinental ballistic missile. Well, we already know North Korea has those, and we already know they can go a long way, and we were just told they can actually reach the Midwest United States. Sounds like they have three of the challenges licked. Good job, Bill Clinton. Nice job. And Barry, this is what we have to look forward to from Iran, particularly since Iran and North Korea are such good buddies. One guy has a lot of cash that the Americans gave him, more funding of terror. And one guy needs a lot of cash. The guy who needs a lot of cash has all this nuclear know-how and ICBM know-how. And the guy who has the cash wants to get it to wipe out his enemies and has said it in books and speeches and you name it. This is not a good recipe for a nice cake, folks. All right, so North Korea actually has three intercontinental ballistic missiles. They have the Rodong, which has a accurate mileage or range of about 800 miles. They've been testing over the last several years and have actually launched, I don't know if you know this, satellites into space. Of course, proclaiming that the launches are strictly peaceful and all about the goodwill and comfort of our people and all the rest of the nonsense that you would expect from either Washington, D.C. or Pyongyang. But the bottom line is they have successfully launched satellites into space. They have some ICBM capabilities. One of their other missiles is called the UNHA-3. It's cumbersome. It's a multi-stage missile. It has to be launched from a fixed gantry, which makes it kind of a sitting duck as a target, and takes a long prep time, particularly if you're going to launch a miniaturized nuclear missile. The Rodong, however, and there's a smaller missile. It's called the KN-08. And that's kind of under development, and it can be fired from a mobile launcher, which makes it very difficult to detect and very difficult to destroy prior to its launch. Not a good thing for us. So, that brings us to the fourth challenge posed by one of them states that wants to be a nuclear dog. And that is, you have to be able to hit what you're aiming at with your ICBMs and miniaturized nuclear warheads. Well, you know, they call that, by the way, in the industry, the nuclear industry, missile guidance reentry system, quote unquote. Now, all the experts say this is the biggest single challenge of all four challenges. An ICBM reaches terminal velocity. I mean, this is quite a quick moving deal here. 15,000 miles per hour. And the nose cone and the warhead has to be capable of withstanding temperatures as high as 12,600 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, our friends in North Korea have recently said that they've acquired a, quote, reliable, unquote, reentry technology. Now, both Seoul, that's Seoul, South Korea, and, of course, our Pentagon, say that they don't North Korea can't do this. They don't have it. Well, look, folks, we've been told all along. We were told back in the 90s that they weren't going to have a nuclear bomb, and they didn't have a nuclear bomb, and they do. And we were told that they were going to abide by all the sanctions because we've been such nice guys, and they didn't. And we've been told that they don't have the technology to build a missile that can go anywhere, but they do, and they have, including the launching of satellites. And we were told just a few months ago that they don't have a miniaturized nuclear weapon, which has been reversed and thrown out on its ear just in the past week. So, don't be too surprised if you hear a whisper of them also getting this missile guidance reentry system cemented. None of this is good news for us. And, I might add, it's doubly bad news because whatever North Korea gets developed, you can rest assured Iran will only be a year or two behind them for all the reasons I mentioned. So, you know, I've warned about this for several years. In fact, I may have been one of the very first on media to talk about it. But the odds of a strike, and, you know, it could be from all sorts of sources, but particularly North Korea, Iran, and of course those who must not be named, Islamic terrorists, it's grown much more real. I don't say this to scare you, I say this to alert you. Because forewarned is forearmed. PPPPP, prior planning prevents poor performance, folks. I've been talking about this. I've been talking about your responsibility to yourself and to your family in terms of their physical safety and security, never mind everything else, for several years. It's why, once again, I had that whole segment down there called Family Safety. Sometimes it has a lot of articles, sometimes just a few. And no, my producer's reminding me of something here. I do not recommend anything which may be offered for sale or advertised in any of those articles or any other articles on the Right Side Radio website. The articles are there for informational purposes. You can check out whatever stuff they're offering and you can determine if you want their stuff or not. There's no endorsement, no recommendations by me. In fact, I don't post articles that just advertise stuff. I post them because they have other informational content. Unfortunately, they also have the stuff that they're trying to sell. And therefore, I might add, you might want to take anything they say with a slight grain of salt, although there's always nuggets. Anyway, back to our friends at North Korea. The other thing that has been noticed, and this is just in the last few months, there's a website called 38 North. I believe it's 38north.com. Let me check here for you. And you can look it up. 38 North. I think if you type in the numerals 38 North, it'll come up. It's actually put together by a think tank inside the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies. So twice in the past 5 weeks, now this is, once again, very recent, folks, really suspicious exhaust plumes have been spotted at Yongbyon. That's 56 miles north of the North Korean capital. These buildings have been previously used for the development of radioactive materials, primarily plutonium, which is a waste byproduct from these particular reactors that were supposed to have been shut down, by the way. Gee, are we back to this agreement again between Bill and North Korea? And looking forward to Iran so honoring theirs. So, back in 2013, Pyongyang said it was refurbishing and restarting its nuclear facilities, which had been shut down, by the way, for 6 years while we were sending them money. You know, I mean, the parallels between this and Iran are scary. In February, James Clapper, who's our Director of National Intelligence, told Congress that the reactor had been up and running long enough to allow Pyongyang to begin recovering material for weapons making within a matter of weeks to months. That would put us right about now. North Korea, by the way, nobody really knows what's going on. Because North Korea expelled the UN nuclear inspectors, and of course nothing happened, the UN nuclear inspectors all the way back in 2009. So we have no on-the-ground intel whatsoever. Does this sound familiar? Iran, Iran, Iran. Anyway, these are all rather disconcerting things. Now, some of them may be posted today, I can't promise you, but I have uncovered a raft of articles on what's happening in North Korea that from all sorts of sources that you really should read, because not only is North Korea a threat, but through them, many others who would not otherwise be are an extreme threat. And some of the articles from 38 North, suspicious activity at Yongbyon Radioactive Radiochemical Laboratory. The Korean Times, North Korea has all core missile technologies except reentry. The Marine Corps Times, 315,000 U.S. and South Korean troops begin massive exercises north as the North threatens war. From Private Briefing, North Korea's satellite launch means more business. Unbelievable. From Fox News, North Korea can put nuclear warheads on mid-range missiles, official says. And so on and so forth. So hopefully some of those are posted this week. If they are not, they will absolutely, positively be posted next week. Now, should we talk about the VA and really kind of get our blood boiling? So you remember back 2 years ago, it was uncovered, all this fraud, graft, and corruption was uncovered. VA officials getting huge bonuses. Excuse me. Huge bonuses. I've been working on a pipeline all week here at the ranch. And I mean, that pipe is friggin' heavy. Whew. 12-inch, 22-foot sticks of pipe. It's an irrigation project, and I mean, they are flat heavy. And it's been, I happen to love that kind of work, but it has been extreme. So, my apologies for my yawn. It has nothing to do with you, audience, and we hope it has nothing to do with me listening to myself. Although maybe, perhaps some of you yawn along with me, I don't know. So, anyway, back to the VA. Obama, if you remember, promised swift action and accountability for those who had tried to hide this abysmally long waits by fraudulent records and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, there's been a torrent of horror stories out of the VA, thousands who have died waiting for care. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just terrible. Well, this is now 700 days later. That's more than 2 years, folks. This is with a new guy appointed to head the VA who was supposedly was going to get this thing rocking and rolling, and heads were going to roll, and salaries were going to be decreased, and bonuses were going to be... Yeah, right. First of all, federal civil service law, you know, our SEIU brethren, that gives any officials who are accused and who an agency tries to fire the right to appeal. And during the time of the appeal, they continue to be paid at taxpayer expense, including up to $250,000 a year. And this is what's happening with a number of these responsible people, not a whole bunch, but a few, at the VA. I mean, it's just unbelievable. There's been no accountability, and the problems haven't been solved, and heads have not rolled. And in fact, there was, I believe, over 40 million, perhaps it was 50 million, who really cares, in bonuses given out by this new guy who was supposed to be shaking this up with immediate action and accountability. 50 million in bonuses given out last year. While our vets suffer, don't get care, and die. I mean, I don't know about you, that kind of pisses me off. Between 2006 and 2013, the number of full-time employees at the VA jumped more than 40% from 220,000 to 314,000. Even with 94,000 more people, folks, the VA has still not developed a system that will transfer medical records from the Defense Department to the VA in less than 175 days. I want you to think about that for a moment.